This morning into Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. I tell you what, I look over there, I see a family that's had a hard drive last night, I guess. Hey, man. Good to see Brother Mike and Katie and them back, and just thankful that they made it back safely. I know yesterday they was posting pictures in Tennessee, so they made it back safely. We're thanking God for that, and we'd ask prayers for them while they was away for traveling mercies, and ask you to remember the others who are away traveling. I know Brother Ernie and Sister Dolly are away. My wife's sick. Keep her in your prayer if you would. But my daughter and her family are all away, and I know there's many others that are coming and going for vacation. So keep everyone in prayer, and then just remember your church family that is sick. We have a lot of folks that are facing very serious issues in their lives. Amen. Some life-threatening, some just debilitating. But we know that this flesh is corruptible. We know that the Bible tells us that this is what's going to happen. But we also know that we need His sustaining power, His hand of mercy and grace upon us as we go through these trials of the flesh. If you found Jeremiah chapter 32, stand with us this morning if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says in Jeremiah 32, 16, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts, they are coming to the city to take it, and the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence and of what thou hast spoken is come to pass. And behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of God? You may be seated. Jeremiah is in the midst of one of the most horrific things that you could ever imagine. We have not seen anything quite like what Jeremiah has been going through. I think the closest thing that we could even compare to that may be the siege of Stalingrad during the Second World War, as the German Nazi forces had tried to defeat Russia and had surrounded Stalingrad and starved the people, and hundreds of thousands were killed and mutilated and injured and wounded during that time. But in the days of Jeremiah, there was a type of warfare. It was called siege warfare, where they would come and they'd do the same thing. They would surround a city and they would starve it into submission. If you couldn't defeat it, you would starve it. And it's no secret that none of us can survive long without being fed. And that's what they're doing to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is under siege and the city is encamped about. And God has been prophesying through his prophet Jeremiah, as he had prophesied through his prophet Isaiah of the bondage that Israel was going to go into, the bondage that he would place his people in because of the sin. And in the midst of all this that's going on, the siege is now in place. It was in the 11th year, I believe, of Zedekiah that he tried to make his escape and tried to get away and was taken captive by the Chaldeans, by the Babylonians. And this is the 10th year. It's a year before they finally give up hope and they finally make their dash for it and make their run for it. And God has told Jeremiah, your cousin is going to come and he's going to visit with you. And when he comes to visit, he's going to want to sell you a piece of land. He said, you go ahead and buy that piece of land and pay him for it and get the papers secured, get the deed and the title taken care of, because that land is going to be yours and you're going to possess this land. And that didn't make sense. Amen. Here we're getting ready to be taken into bondage. We're going to be carried away, and God is telling me to go and purchase this piece of land. Now, in the meantime, you got to understand, Jeremiah is in prison. He's in the court of the prison. They've locked him up because he keeps prophesying the truth. And we live in a day and time when the world don't want to hear truth. But, you know, that's never something that the world has been really anxious to hear anyway. Amen. In Jeremiah's day, it was no different than it is today. They didn't want to hear the truth. And every time he would get to preaching the truth, they'd lock him up. And then it wasn't long, they'd set him free. And he'd get to preaching the truth again. They'd lock him back up. And Jeremiah got so frustrated, he said, I decided I wasn't even going to speak the words of the Lord anymore. And he said, I tried not to, but I couldn't, because it burned as a fire within my soul. I had to speak truth. And I tell you, if the world needs to hear anything today, it needs to hear truth. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Amen. And I've told you the difference between being set free and being made free before. For those that may not have heard it and may not know the difference between being set free and being made free, I like to use the analogy of Harriet Tubman in the Underground Railroad. She could take slaves and she could convey them on their way mostly into Canada through the Underground Railroad, and she would set them free. But if the slave owners could somehow get a hold of them and lay hold of them and find them along the way, they could take them right back into bondage. See, they hadn't been made free, they'd been set free. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Praise God, when they'd been made free, when they had been emancipated and had been given their freedom, they had a legal document that proved that they had been made free. Amen. That proved that they were no longer under bondage. They were no longer enslaved. Slave to any man. There's a big difference between being set free and being made free, and I'm thankful to tell you today that Jesus will make you free. Amen. He'll not only set you free, but he'll make you free. Amen. Amen. But Jeremiah, he said that truth isn't being too well accepted. That truth isn't being too well thought of as I preach it and proclaim it, and I'm just not going to do it. But he could not do it, because it burned within his heart. We need to let the world know truth today. We need to hear some truth in our churches today. Amen. We forgot what a God we serve. We go through problems in our lives spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. And it seems that we forget who it is that we serve. And we begin to try to work things out our own way. We begin to look for a solution to our problem when the solution's right there all the time. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of all. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. There's none like him, and there's none that can compare unto him. But we try to go everywhere else and seek everything else, when all we need is Jesus. And God has come and he's told Jeremiah, said, now, you go do this. And Jeremiah said, in the midst of all this, why did you want me to do this, Lord? He did just what God had asked him to do. God told him, when your cousin comes and tells you he wants you to buy this piece of land, you buy the piece of land from him. You secure the title, make sure the title's taken care of, it's secured, and it's documented, it's written down, and it's put in place. And Jeremiah said, God, I don't understand this. That's what Jeremiah is saying here in the verses, in the passage we read. God, you've done all these things. But now we're here, and your people have disobeyed. We're here, he said, the mounts, the soldiers, the siege is on the city. And you tell me to buy a piece of property in this place that's going to be forsaken, in this place that's going to be abandoned, in this place that's going to be taken over, and nothing will be as it was before. Sometimes we look at our lives and we wonder why. God, if you love me, why? God, if you care about me, why? Every time a tragedy happens, it seems like people want to question God. Well, why did God, if there is a God, they'll say sometimes, if there is a God, why did God allow this to happen? God allowed it to happen because that's what man wanted. Man made that choice. Man made that decision. God placed a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect environment and gave them perfect instruction. But they didn't want everything that God had. They wanted what the devil, what the world had to offer. So when sickness comes, don't blame God. Blame grandma and grandpa. Adam and Eve. When trouble comes, we got a dear family member, and we asked you to pray for her a while back. Her son committed suicide here just a few weeks ago. She was raised in a good Christian home, a good Christian parents. We witnessed to her. We talked to her all the time. But right now she says, I just don't want to hear any of that God stuff. I don't want to hear any of that. When the greatest source of help, the greatest source of hope you can find is in the Lord. We can't always find reason. We can't always make reason for it, but we know the one who can get us through it. Pray for her. She needs prayer. Pray for all those who are struggling. You know, sometimes people view suicide, and they say young people commit suicide at an alarming rate today. And they view suicide as a means to solve the problem. And it doesn't just solve the problem. It just creates problem. It just transfers the problem. It doesn't end the hurt. It transfers the hurt to somebody else. It doesn't take care of anything. It doesn't solve any issue whatsoever. It creates more questions. It creates more hurt. It creates more problems. It's never the answer. We got people that are going through financial issues, and they think, well, if I just work more, if I do, you know, we live in a society that just dreams up ways to get every dime that you have. And so many times we feel like we got to fall into it. Talk to people about their bills and listen to some of the bills. I'd say 50 to 60% of the bills that people create in today's society are unnecessary bills. Well, how much is your cable bill? Well, my cable and my internet and, you know, we got, or what is it up there? Armstrong. We got Armstrong. And they raised ours up. It was going to be up $130-some a month or something. We called them up and said, cut it off. Cut it off. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's a frivolity. You know, we think so many things are necessary. And we get ourselves into problems. And we find out pretty soon we're at the verge of we're unable to meet our bills. We're unable to meet our obligations. And then we think, well, the problem is sometimes, well, I just need to work more hours. I just need to do more. No matter how much you make, you'll spend it if you don't get the right frame of mind. God's got an answer for you. God's got he's got what you need. He's got a financial plan for you to follow if you'll just listen to it. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just telling you some truth. Amen? I'm just telling you some truth. But we find all these things. We find all these issues. Sickness comes our way. I'm going to pick on Joycey. She was here last Sunday. She hurt so bad she couldn't hardly stand it. Her head hurt. Couldn't hardly get her up to get her to the car so they could take her to the hospital. They've got her on some treatments now and told her she had a tumor on her brain. But she ain't sitting at home whining, oh my, oh me. She's here at God's house. Sister Ella Wilson, I never will forget the day. And I've shared this a million times. And I'll share it a million more. She told us that they had told her for the last time there was no more they could do. She dealt with cancer, had battled cancer for many years. But when she went to the doctor the last time, and they said, there's nothing else we can do, there's nothing more we can do. Basically, get your house in order. Get your affairs ready. She didn't go sit at home and cry about how miserable she was. I was standing there at the back of the church. Sister Joanne walked and said, Sister Ella, what are you going to do? Now, you ought to write this down in your Bible somewhere. That this has got to be scriptural. It should be. She said, I'm going to slap my wig on. I'm going to paint my lips up. And I'm going to come to the house of God as long as I'm able. Amen. Amen. You see, she didn't let her situation, she didn't let her physical ailment, her physical illness drag her down. Why? Because she had something that went beyond the grave. She had something that went beyond this world and this life in her heart. She knew where the source of her healing was going to come from. She knew where her help resided. And she knew what had been prepared for her. Sometimes we forget how good God has been and how good God is. Sometimes we forget what God is doing in our lives when we try to go our own way and we try to do our own things. We try to do it in our own strength and our own power. Sometimes we face mountains that are monumental and it don't seem like we're ever going to accomplish what we know we need to accomplish and what we need to do. And we just want to give up. We just want to quit. Don't quit. Just keep on going. Sometimes God calls us into something. Sometimes God speaks to our heart and he wants us to go to a place that we don't understand. He wants us to do something that we feel so inadequate to do. And we want to just go hide away somewhere. But friend, don't do it. Just keep going on and do what God wants you to do. God told Jeremiah, he said, buy this piece of land. Jeremiah said, I don't understand why I'm buying this land, God. He said, we're already under siege. They're outside the gate. They're ready to take us into captivity and put us into bondage. He said, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then look at what Jeremiah said. Verses 16 to 23. He says, I'm looking back. I'm looking back, God, and I can see who you are. I'm looking back. I can see what you've done. I'm looking back, and God, I know that you are a God. Verse 17, that thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched that arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest love and kindness unto to thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of fathers and to the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. He recognizes who he is. Verse 21, and thou hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great power, and hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Jeremiah says, God, I know what you've been. I know what you've done in the past, but I don't understand this, God. I can't comprehend this, God. I can't conceive this. I know you're great and you're mighty and you're powerful, but why, God? Let me tell you why. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he cares. Now show us loving kindness. Job went through the trouble that he went through. He's going through his trial. And I don't know anybody here that's lost more than what Job lost. Job lost everything. He absolutely lost everything. It would have been merciful for him had he lost his life. But he wasn't. He was stricken with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. There wasn't a part of his body. In other words, has anybody ever had a boil? You don't hear people getting boils as much as you used to. When I was a kid, people used to get boils. But when you got a boil, it's plumb miserable. You don't want nothing touching it. You don't want nothing around it. It hurts. It's painful. But you understand, Job had boils all over. There was no place, no way that he could lay. There was nothing he could do to find any relief whatsoever. It would have been merciful for him to have died. And then he has a wife who proved not to be the woman I think that Job thought she was. All she could see was all that they had lost. When Job realized all that he still had. And then there was the friends that came along. And they began to accuse Job. You're going through these trials. You're going through these problems because there's sin in your life. Aren't people so judgmental? Job hadn't done anything wrong. His problem was he'd done everything right. That's why the devil was attacking him. You see Christians going through trouble? Don't think about the sin that's in their life. You know, the devil don't bother anybody unless they're doing something right. There's no need to shoot a dead rabbit. That's right. Amen. Amen. When somebody's going through something, you see a Christian going through something in their life, pray for them. Amen. Don't begin trying to figure out what's wrong with them. Amen. Pray for them. But Job's going through all this, and instead of coming and being an encouragement, his friends come along and they begin to accuse Job of secret sin, accuse Job of hiding sin, accuse Job of being a hypocrite, no doubt, saying one thing and living another way, trying to put forth one image and being something else. And in the midst of all this, pretty soon Job begins to get discouraged. And he said, oh, if I just knew where God was, I would order my cause before him. You know, the world can beat you down to the point to where you begin to question God. Man, old Jeremiah, he'd been in prison. He'd been out of prison. He's in prison. Man, you read through the book of Jeremiah, that poor guy, ain't no wonder he got discouraged. Ain't no wonder he wanted to quit one time. Ain't no wonder he was just to the point to where, well, God, I just don't understand this. God, I can't comprehend this. But he didn't forget who God was. He never forgot what God has done. And you know, that's what we need to do. We need to remember that there's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing that God can't do. And just think back of all the things that he has done. That's what in Job chapters 38 through 41, God begins to remind Job of the difference between man and God. In chapter 38, as he starts out, and this is kind of the tenure you hear all the way through those four chapters. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness as a swaddling for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Where were you the next time the devil comes along and tells you in the midst of your trouble and in the midst of your problems, you don't need to listen to what the Word of God says. You don't need to trust God and believe God. It don't even make sense. Why would God tell you to do something? Why would God tell Jeremiah to buy a piece of land when the city's surrounded? Why would God give you a tumor? I don't know, but praise God, there's some way that he's going to teach you something and he's going to show you something through the midst of it. Tanya, I don't know why your cancer come back, but praise God, I know the one that does, and I don't know what purpose he's got in it, but praise God, he's got a purpose for it, and he's going to show something through it. I don't know why Sister Ella went through all she did, but praise God, she was a testimony, she was a witness, she's a hero of the faith to me as I heard her utter them few words. I'll slap my wig on, I'll paint my lips up, and I'll go to the house of God. Amen. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust God anyway. Because I haven't done everything that he's done. I don't know everything that he knows. I can't do it. You know, God just accomplishes things because he willed it. Amen. He spoke a whole world into existence just because he willed it to be so. He destroyed almost all that he had created with the great flood simply because he willed it. Amen. Can I understand it? Can I explain it? No. But I believe archaeology, I believe it's proven throughout the world, everywhere you go, you find evidence of exactly what the Bible says. I can't comprehend it. I can't understand it. But do I believe it? Yes, I do. 100%. Amen. I don't know what God is trying to do in every situation, but I know that in every situation, he's still God and he's still in control. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to see and what I'm going to face tomorrow, but praise God, I know the one that knows all about tomorrow and holds tomorrow in his hand. I don't know why I've been dealt the things that have been dealt in my life sometimes. I've went through the low times. I went through the hard times. I've been blessed. And praise God, I've sometimes in my life when I just would rather not even talk about it, would rather not even share it with anybody else. But praise God, I'm glad that everything he's brought me through, he's brought me through for a purpose. He's brought me through it to make me stronger. He's brought me through it to help me see that he's still in control. He's still on the throne. And he's still all that I need. And as long as I have him, there's nothing that's going to be impossible. Because the impossible don't belong to me. It belongs to him. And all I have to do is trust him. He's the God of the past. Man, I look back at my life and I see the things that he's done. Jeremiah recounts the things that God has done. I believe that's the thing that inspired Jeremiah to obey God and to make that purchase. When Hananiah come, his cousin showed up and said, I want you to buy this piece of land. Jeremiah didn't argue about it. He just bought it. He weighed out the money. He recorded the deed and the title. He said, here it is, God. I don't understand why. Amen. You got something in your life going on right now? You got something that you're facing that you don't understand and you can't comprehend. Maybe you've never been saved and you don't understand salvation. Let me assure you of this. God has his plan of salvation already figured out and worked out, and all you got to do is just trust him and believe. Christian, has God dealt with you about something in your life? Something maybe you need to get rid of? Something you need to change? Something you need to get more focused on? Let me assure you of this. God's already aware of what needs to be done and how he wants to do it in your life. Just trust him and just look back and see what he's done in your life before. See what he's done in the lives of others before you, and see how God can take nothing and make much out of it, and take what seems foolishness and make the greatest thing that ever happened in your life, the greatest thing that you could ever imagine come true, happen because you was willing to trust him. Most of you know Brother John and Sister Liz Blue. John owns most of Rising Sun now, I think. John's been through a lot in the last 10 years. Started with a brain tumor. And as he was healing from the brain tumor, was in a bad accident that has had continued ramifications. He's had, probably in the last 10 years, he's had probably close to 20, 25 surgeries. You say, you're exaggerating, preacher. No, I'm not exaggerating a bit. And then in the midst of all this that he's dealing with in his health, one of their biggest properties right in the center of Rising Sun burns to the ground. Almost completely. And I was there with him that night. We left right after church, and since we went out of church, somebody told me John's buildings right in, commercial buildings right in the center of Rising Sun are on fire. We left and went straight to Rising Sun. And John was standing there and looked like a broken man almost. I said, John, it's going to be all right. He said, I know it's going to be all right, Dennis. I know it's going to be all right. I said, no, John, it's going to be all right. He just shook his hand and said, I know, Dennis. I said, let's pray. And we stopped right there, almost right under the red light in the middle of the downtown Rising Sun. And we just stood there, and I put my hands on him, and I began to pray. Got done praying, John said, I know everything's going to be all right. The Lord's got it under control. It'll be all right. We just spent 3 days up in the mountains with John and Liz. As we was talking and talking about different things that have happened. You know what they'll tell you? That fire to their property was one of the greatest blessings that they'd ever had. They knew what God had done. They'd seen how God had worked in their lives, and God has prospered them. God has blessed them tremendously. And God has been with them through many, many things. But two or three times this week as we was talking and talking about how God works, we was talking about this. He says, I remember that night you stood there and we prayed. We prayed right in the middle of town right while the fire was raging and the firefighters were trying to put the fire out. He said, and I knew God could. Didn't necessarily know how he would. But he said it turned out to be one of the greatest blessings that ever happened to us. You see, you might not understand why God's got you in the place where he's got you. You might not understand why God's wanting you to do the things that he's wanting you to do. But just look back at what God has done for you in the past. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he's done it before, he can do it again. Jeremiah said, God, I know you've done all these things. He says, but look. He said, the mounts are outside the city. The city's under siege. The enemy's here. God, I know that you created the world. I know that you delivered Israel. I know that you brought them to this land. I know that we've sinned, but you've told me to buy this property, and I bought this property, but the enemy's outside the gate. Let me tell you something else that Jeremiah found out. God's just not the God of the past. He's the God of the present. Amen. Amen. He's not the God of yesterday. He's not the God of our forefathers. He's the God of the church today. And what he's done for our forefathers, he can do for us today. The revivals that we've seen in the years past, and we hear preachers and people talk about, we hear the old timers talk about the great revivals. And man, I remember some of the revivals here at Charlestown, old Buford Hash, and some of the other old saints of God that would preach here, and how the power of God just would fill the place. Those aren't things of the past. They're the things of today. Praise God. We had the Sampson family with us a couple weeks ago. And if the power of God didn't visit your heart, you missed a blessing. I don't know where you was. Amen. Amen. As God began to work, God's still the same. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I don't change. He said, circumstances don't change me. Situations don't change me. He said, your problems won't change me. I'm still the same God. Paul and Silas, sitting in the Philippian jail, found out that the God that they preached about on the streets of Philippi, the God that they were proclaiming to people that didn't want to hear it, amen, was the same God that would be with them in the jail cell when they locked them up and when they locked their feet in the stock and they put them in the innermost part of the prison. They didn't sit around and say, oh my and oh me. The same God that we were serving out there is the same God that will visit us in here. The same God that's in my heart when things are going good is the same God that's going to be in my heart when things are going bad. The same God that was with me yesterday is the same God that's going to be with me today. The same God that brought me out of sin's prison and up out of the horrible pit in the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock is the same God that's going to walk through the mountain with me. The same God that set me on the mountain is the same God that's going to go through the valley with me. And praise God, there's no need for me to get all pooch mouth. There's no need for me to get all down and discouraged. The God of yesterday is still the God of the day. And the God of yesterday blessed my heart yesterday. And praise God, he'll bless my heart today. And not only will he bless my heart today, he'll bless my heart tomorrow. Amen. 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 Behold, the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy the field for the money, and take no witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Jeremiah, I was God yesterday. I'm still God today. Amen. Joycey, he was God last Saturday. Amen. He's still God today. Amen. Tanya, he was God a couple years ago. He's still God today, sister. Amen. Amen. Go home and tell Robert he was God when he got saved. Tell him he's still God today. telling him he was a God that brought him out of sin's darkness and out of sin's prison. He's the same God that's going to sustain him and bring him through the day. Praise God. Praise his name. I tell you, we forget sometimes that the God that was with us yesterday, the God that saved us yesterday, the God that healed us yesterday, is the same God that's on the throne today and is the same God that wants to work a work in our lives if we'll just surrender ourselves and let him. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Amen. He's not the great I was. He's not the great what if. He's not the great maybe. But praise God, he's the great I am. And as long as he is the I am, that's a present tense, amen. That means he's just as real today as he was yesterday. He's just as real in my heart today as he was the day he saved me. And praise God, he'll be just as real in my heart. He'll be just as real in my life as he is today, the day they lay me in the grave. You say, well, how can he be real in your life if you're dead and in the grave? Praise God, he'll be more real than he ever was. Because I'll be with him. Amen. And God replies. And God replies. In verses 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Down in verse 42 says, For thus saith the Lord, Like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And the field shall be bought in this land, whereof you say, It is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences and seal them, and take witnesses into the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities in the valleys, and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. I don't understand everything that God wants me to do. I don't understand everything that God says to do, but praise God, because he said it, I can do it, because I know that he's not only God today, he'll be God tomorrow. And what I'm looking down the road to, what I'm wondering about how God's going to do it, I don't have to worry about it. All I got to worry about and concern myself with it is that I give it into God's hands. And that's enough, because there's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that God can't do. What is it that you need? There's nothing God can't do. What is it that you desire? There's nothing God can't do. You know, the Bible says God gives us the desires of our hearts. But there's also stipulations to those things if our desires line up with God's will. God will bless you. Just like he blessed Job. You say, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be rich. Just like Job. No, I just said he'll bless you just like he did Job. He gave Job what Job had because Job was able to handle it. Amen. Man, if he gave me that much money, I'd probably just go plumb ignorant. Amen. So he ain't going to give it to me. Amen. I probably wouldn't use it the right way. God knows you. He knows me. There's nothing that's hid from God. There's no secret to God about what's going on in your life. But God said, Jeremiah, he said, you forget one thing. I'm still God, and there's nothing too hard for me. In the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, don't forget that he's still God. In the midst of what you're facing, in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the blessings, in the midst of the bad times, in the midst of the good times, don't ever forget that he's still God. He's still on the throne. Amen. Don't ever forget that he's still able. Don't ever forget that he still wants to. Sometimes we look at people and we say, look at them. And we look at people sometimes and we think they're beyond salvation. Anybody never thought that? Amen, I didn't think so. Sometimes we just write people off. Oh, they can never, man, they're so messed up on drugs, they can never get straightened out. They'll never get their lives straightened out enough to be able to understand and comprehend. That's not for you to worry about. God said, there's nothing impossible for me. There's nothing I can't do. Amen. We look at people and we see their lives are a wreck. We say, there's no hope for them. Don't write them off. God said, there's nothing impossible for me. We look at our own lives and we know our lives and we know what we need to give to God. But when we look at others' lives, when we look at other situations, don't give up on people. Don't give up on souls that need to hear the gospel. Don't give up on souls that need to be saved. The world had given up on Leon. Y'all heard me tell about Leon. 30 years out of prison. 30 years in prison, just got out. Violated his parole, had to go the next day to see the parole officer and knew he was going to have to give a drug and alcohol specimen for a test. And he knew that was going to send him right back to the prison he just got out of. 30 years of being a drug dealer, paying for being a drug dealer. 30 years of beating a man to within his life. 30 years where he killed a man in prison. 30 years of one of the most horrible lives you could imagine. 30 years where society and people just wrote him off. But to come to revival, I was preaching. Broken. Without hope. Could find nothing to live for. Was ready to commit suicide. He only come because his father-in-law convinced him to come. The truth of the gospel made him free. He had to go see his parole officer the next day. Now, I've heard these stories all my life. Now I get to tell one. Had to go see the parole officer the next day. He said, what am I going to tell him? His father-in-law said, you just tell him what happened. Just tell him the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, just tell them the truth. The next morning, he called pastor at a church where I was preaching. He said, I walked into that parole office this morning. He said, the parole officer looked at me and said, what happened to you? What happened to you? He said, you look completely different. He said, I got saved last night. He said, I'm going to get baptized Sunday. Parole officer said, get out of here. Get out of here, man. He says, you're good. Get out of here. Is there anything God can't do? An hour later, he called the pastor back. He said, I knew it was too good to be true. The parole officer called and told me to come back down to the parole office. I knew it was too good to be true. Brother Eddie said, well, go see what he wants. Went back down to the parole offices. He said, look, you owe the parole board $1,300. He said, you were sick here a few weeks ago and you was in the hospital. And the hospital has notified us that you've got an outstanding bill there. He said, I want you to go to the hospital and get your bill and bring it back here. So he went over to the hospital, got the bill, come back. The bill was well over $500 or well over $5,000. He said, I give him the bill, and he said, I was just waiting for the hammer to drop. The parole officer looked at him and says, we're going to take care of all this. He said, you owe us $75 for last week and $75 for today. Or $35 last week. He said, you owe us $75, $75 total. He said, you owe us $75. He said, give us $75 and we'll take care of the rest of this. He said, I don't understand it. Is there anything God can't do? Is there anything God can't do? When he thought it was impossible, when he thought it was improbable, when the world had wrote him off and the world had given up, God said, there's nothing that I can't do. And God saved his soul, and God changed his life, and God turned him around, and God made a difference. And God can do the same thing for you that he did for Leon. If you need to be saved, he'll save you. If you need something dealt with, something taken care of, just give it to the Lord and trust him. He's the same God that created this world. He's the same God that walks with us every day. He's the same God that holds your future in his hand. But are you in his hand? You know, it's good to know that he holds your future in his hand when you're in his hand. He said, in John chapter 10, he said, they're my sheep. And he said, they're in my hand. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And he said, not only are they in my hand, they're in my Father's hand. Are you in his hand? Is your future, your eternity in his hand? If not, it can be. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. The only thing I need to understand is there's nothing my God can't do.
Amen.
Amen. You're dealing with something in your life. You're facing the mountain. You're facing the problem. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. That's all right. I know the one that does.
Amen.
Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.